All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, you'll find that right before Matthew, so that's real easy to find. It's one of those that's minor prophets, it's not too hard to find. But anyways, we're going to be looking at Malachi just for a little bit. We're talking about stewardship. Stewardship has three T's, or actually four, and we talk about stewardship as being part of our testimony. And our testimony is made up of our time, our talents, and our treasures. What we do with those really is who we are. It is our testimony. And it is indicative of our stewardship and what we believe about God. If we can trust God and know that He's there and can provide, we can have much more faith, and we can also give Him more. And so as we look at Malachi chapter 3, we're reminded in Malachi, it's a book written to Israel. There's four parts of it. God's love to Israel, the sins of the priest, and then chapter, 2 and 3, it starts talking about the sins of Israel. And that's where we're at right here in my Bible. Yours may say this too. If you have a Scofield, it definitely does. Part 3 resumed, meaning there was a parenthetical there in chapter 3 or beginning there. So there's something that was said, and then it's coming back to the sins of Israel. And the last part's the day of the Lord in chapter 4. But we're going to begin reading in verse 7. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you found Malachi chapter 3 in verse 7, we're going to read all the way down through verse 18 this morning. Again, this is God dealing with the children of Israel, which are His people, according to Abraham's faith in God. In chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinances, and that we have walked mournful before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the word of God this morning as we are approaching the subject of giving, our tithes and offerings. We see here in the book of Malachi that the children of Israel, they quit doing this. And you called it robbery. Father, help us as we look at this again today, understand that we don't want to be part of that. We don't want to be a people that are called by your name and yet rob you. Father, help us to understand what it is to give and how to give. Help us to understand there's a purpose behind it. And Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you for the Word of God and the Spirit of God that convicts us, converts us, challenges us. And Father, we pray today that that would be exactly what happens here this morning. We thank you again for your Word, and thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. You know, biblical giving is often misunderstood. People don't understand what the tithe is. When I first got saved, I had no idea what the tithe was. I thought you put money in the plate, and you get to pick how much money you want to put in the plate. I remember I had a job, and whenever the plate came, whatever I had in my pocket, that's what went in the tithe or the offering. There was no sense or rhyme or reason to it. If I didn't have anything, there was nothing that went in the plate. If I had $6, I'd put $6 in the plate. If I had $10 bill, I might not let that go. That's how bad it was. And it took some understanding. It took some teaching. It took some years for me to understand what the tithe was and how to give it. You know, and even when I first started giving, it wasn't something that I rejoiced in, because I always thought, and there was times when I first got saved and started tithing, that I would go back after a year, because you get a letter from the church saying how much you gave. And I would look at that amount and think, wow, I could have bought something big with this, maybe a boat or maybe even a car. That would have made a great down payment on a car. And I used to think that way and look at things that way. But one day I realized, as my journey through walking with the Lord, is that it's really His. Not just the 10%, but the 100% that He allows me to have. It's all His, and He can take it anytime He wants. And I learned a hard lesson one time, and this was in the part of faith promise. We were tight. The budget was tight, didn't have a lot of money. So what I did was I quit giving my faith promise. And when I quit giving my faith promise, something happened in my life. And I didn't realize at the time, but I started having problems. Problems with my vehicles. It cost me money. Different things were coming up, medical bills. Things were happening that normally didn't happen. And you say, well, that's just a coincidence. I don't believe so. I believe that if you and I promise to give God something and we choose not to do it, we rob God, that He will get it some other way. And that's exactly what happened. When I look back on it, I thought, boy, that's pretty close to the amount that I quit giving my faith promise. And from that time on, I do not hesitate to give what I pledge. I don't care what else is going to happen. You know, when it comes to taxes, you get your paycheck if you're employed by somebody other than self-employment. That money's gone before you even get the check, isn't it? They already take it out. Well, you know, that's the way we ought to treat God. We ought to put it in our mind and settle it right now that money's gone. It's going to God because it's our responsibility to give Him that. And we're going to see that a little bit today as we think about this. And we're going to not be like the children of Israel who robbed God and kept back. But we want to be like those people that bring in the tithes and offerings. And then He opens the window of blessing. And I'll tell you what, time and time again, I can give testimony of how God has blessed me over the years. You know, it's amazing to me, and I can't count it and add it all up and figure it all out. But the Lord has blessed me, and I was able to take and put 4 kids through college so far. I still got 2 to go. One of them's going to hopefully graduate next year. And then 1 left. But God did that. I didn't do that. I didn't have the money. And you're talking $5,000 when they started, probably to $6,500 a semester now. And you add that up, that's a lot of money. That's over $40,000 per child for a 4-year college degree. And why that happened? I know why. Because I was faithful. And God was faithful. He opened the windows of blessing. He didn't give it to me all at once because He'd know I'd go spend it on something I shouldn't. You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden I got $100,000. Well, let's go buy a new car. Let's go buy this. Let's go buy that. Instead of, what does God have planned for that money? He knows what my needs are before I do. And we have to be careful with that. So we need to understand what tithing is. We need to understand what faith promise is. And we're going to do that just a little bit this morning. There's a difference between the tithe and our faith promise. The tithe is something that we're responsible to give. It is already dedicated to God according to the Scripture. And then the offering is above that. That's what comes extra. And I've learned the more I grow in my Christian walk, the more I love the Lord, the more I want to give Him. That's just the way it works. And you experience that as well, obviously, because you're here. But the Bible teaches us. Let's turn over again to the passage we read the other week in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Find that in your Bible. We're just going to read 2 verses. And it's talking about stewardship. And again, it just reminds us who we are and what we're to be doing in this life. And stewardship is not just the tithe. That's all we're talking about today is tithe and offering. But it's also about our talents and it's about our time. All of those are important. And we should be giving God really all of that belongs to him, and we should be giving back to him in each one of those categories. But in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found," what? Faithful. That is the key to the Christian walk. That is the key to living the life that God's called us to live, is to be faithful. To be faithful is to trust God in every area of our life. And I can't exhort enough about putting God first in your life in every single category, every single area, whether it's your time, your talents, your treasures, putting Him first. There's so many people that will go halfway, do it partly, and they think, well, I'm at least making an effort. But you know what? You can do better than that because God gives you the power to. If you can't do it, it's because you're not walking with God. God, if God requires you or asks you to do something, you are capable of doing that in the power of God. Can I hear an amen? Maybe some omies. Amen's right. And that's something I've learned all my life, is that if I trust God, I don't care what He asks me to do, I can accomplish that through Him. I can't do it on my own, but it's through God. But as we think about stewardship, we need to think about ourselves. When I look at the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and I see how Israel disobeyed God, it reminds me not to get too harsh on the children of Israel, because then I need to look at myself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says to us, chapter 11, it says, "Let a man so..." that's the wrong verse. Let me turn over there. I got the wrong thing written down. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." One of the things we need to do is we need to examine ourselves. Are we being faithful to God? Not in just the tithe and offering, but also in the time and talents. All of it. Let's don't pick and choose. Let's say, "God, you know best. I'll do whatever you ask me to do." It's like Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" It's like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. "Here am I, send me." It's just giving God a blanket check of your life, saying, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." And that scares some people because they think, because God's going to send me to Siberia or Africa or somewhere else, I don't know. He doesn't send everybody to Siberia. He doesn't send everybody to Africa. There are people in Maine that need to be here in Maine. God calls people right here in Stratton and to remain in Stratton. It happens. We need to be sensitive to God and follow His leading. So as we think about tithing, and that's what we're going to try to get to the subject, we should give God His rightful place in our lives. And so we need to realize that God, first off, He doesn't need your money, okay? You say, "But how are we going to keep the church going?" Well, I'll tell you what, if every one of you quit giving, this church can continue on, maybe with some new people. Because you will not be in obedience to God. You will be doing the sin of Achan if you do that. And God will not bless this church. It'd be better for all of us to leave and get some new people in here that are serious and want to serve God. Because He doesn't need our things, but He does. We give it to Him. It's out of responsibility, and it's, first off, it's out of obedience. It's showing God that we believe Him more than anything else. Psalm 50, 10, 11 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine." Everything belongs to God. Psalm 24, 1, 2, "The earth is the Lord's." It's not Mother Earth, by the way. Doesn't say that in the Bible. "And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." It is all God's. And I remind you last week, and it's just one of those illustrations that it reminds me that some people get it. When that one man got baptized, Pastor knows he had his wallet in his pocket. Now, I don't even have a wallet on. My wallet's back that big. So I carry it in my front pocket when I carry it. It never has any money in it, though, so you could steal it and probably I'd be okay. But I had to cancel all the credit cards. But anyway, the fact of the matter is he had his wallet in his back pocket. And the pastor says, "Hey, you got your wallet in your back pocket." He's getting ready to get baptized. He says, "Pastor, when I got saved, God saved all of me." And he baptized him with his wallet. Now, I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't suggest doing that. In fact, I tell you, take your belt off, too. Just don't want to get those things wet. But the principle of the thing is what's important. When you and I put our faith and trust in Christ, we need to realize that God has us all. We're bought with a price. We're to glorify God in our body and our soul. We're to live for Him. And living for Him is demonstrated by faith and obedience into the things of God. Time, talent, and treasures. And so as we think about that, and as we look at this passage again, what is the tithe? Where is it mentioned? So many people think, well, a tithe is under the law. The law is what tells us the tithe. Now, I won't dispute that the law says we ought to tithe, but that's not where it's first mentioned. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 14 for me. Genesis chapter 14. And every year about this time of the year, we usually do a faith promise, and we do, this is our stewardship month. Sometimes we have mission conferences. This year we didn't, but so you've heard these things if you've been in our church for a while. But again, it's good to repeat those things or go back and look at those. And let's look at the situation here in verse 16. This is Genesis chapter 14. And it says in verse 16, it says, "And he brought back all the goods and also brought again." Now this is Abraham. He went after Lot. There were four kings that took Sodom and Gomorrah captive. And they took Lot and took off. Okay, Lot was his nephew. And so Abraham took his men and went after Lot to rescue him. And that's what he's doing here. And he just got done doing that. And he says, "And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people." Now, that's not his brother in the physical sense. That's his brother in spiritual sense, if you will, because Lot was his nephew. And so anyway, verse 17 says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shava, which is the king's dell. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." He is a type of Christ, and we're not going to study that out today, but that's something you can do on your own, or we can do later on. Verse 19 says, "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him," what? "Tithes of all," he says. Wonder what that's about. "And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mermi, let them take their portion." And so he's basically saying, everything I have, you're getting 10% of the tithe. That's what the tithe means, 10%. And so what he's doing, and this is the first mention, he is given in response to this Melchizedek, who is a type of Christ, he's paying him the tithe in the sense. He's giving him that, an understanding that it's his, and he doesn't want to hold back anything because he fears God. That's the same reason I give my tithe in the initial sense was I feared God. Even today, I forgot my checkbook. I was sitting here and I was thinking, I got home and got ready and got in kind of a rush today and just forgot to write. And I hardly ever do that. Every now and then I do it. And I hate forgetting, because if you don't get it in this morning, it ain't going in until next week. And I don't like to have that money hanging in my bank account trying to pay it double next week. So anyway, I asked somebody to go home and get that checkbook so I would have the tithe and be able to pay it today. I don't want to hold back from God. I don't want to take a chance of making a mistake and spending His money or anything else that I'm to give. And so just as Abram has taught us in this passage, we too ought to be the same way, understanding that the tithe belongs to God. And that includes and means that before taxes. You mean before taxes? The tithe is before taxes? That ain't fair, is it? Come on, the government gets their 35% or whatever it is, and then I got to pay that 10% on that 35%? Yes. Who's first in your life, the government or God? God is first. And that's what he's talking about. So we give to him first, even though he doesn't get it first because the government robs him of that first. But nonetheless, we do. And we do it before school expenses. We do it before groceries even. In fact, I look and I give my tithe and whatever I have to do is pay bills. What's left over, we're going to buy groceries. Sometimes I tell my wife, says, we got X number of dollars. This is all we got this week. And I said, well, let's eat beans every day. And I love beans, by the way, so it's not a big deal. But nonetheless, we want to put God first. And so sometimes we think to ourselves, well, how are we going to make it? I remember I used to think that way. If I give that 10% and that faith promise, how am I going to make it this week? How am I going to be able to get by? I don't have any money. What am I going to do? And then I'm reminded in Philippians 4:19 what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so he tells us that if you put God first, God's going to supply all your needs. Now, He might not give you your wants, okay? We all got a lot of things that we want that are really not needs. And you can think about that, and you know if you sat down and made a list of things, you come to the knowledge real quick that a lot of things we have are extra. They're the blessings of God. It's the window of heaven pouring out to give you that opportunity to have more than you really need. And that's what God does for us. So as we continue to study that and look at that, we know that it's to give God and to give to Him first. This morning we read a passage in Proverbs. And every time we think about Proverbs chapter 3, everybody thinks of, I had that marked, I thought, but let's go back this way. We think of Proverbs 3 and 5, right? Isn't that what you memorize that verse? You know that verse, and that's a good verse to, or good two verses to know, or three verses about trusting the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a wonderful couple of verses to memorize. But the next verse says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes; fear the Lord and depart from evil." Again, that's a warning in a sense. We put God first and don't trust ourselves. How often do we just do the opposite of that? I know I do, and we need to be careful that we don't. And he goes on, and he talks about, he says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If what? If you trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you lean on to your own understanding. You know, we all face challenges, physical, financial, spiritual. They come into our lives. And a lot of times we want to run and do something stupid, thinking that that's God's way. It may not be. You need to trust Him first. How many times have I said this, and it's really true in my life, and I want it to be true every day in my life. It's not always. But when something comes up, a situation, no matter how grave or how insignificant, I ought to approach God first and say, God, I've got this situation. I don't understand how to handle it. I can't do this thing. I need your help. You say, what kind of situation? Losing keys. John, can you say amen? Just say amen, John. Thank you. Even if you lose your keys, you can pray and ask God to help you to find it. There's a lot of things. And that's, you sometimes you think, well, that's insignificant because I lose my keys every day. Well, you need to be praying to God every day. Don't let me lose my keys. And He'll say, get a strap and wear it around your neck. Put the keys on it. He might give you some wisdom. Who knows in that area. But the fact is that we need to go to God in every situation. And when we do, He'll direct us in the right path. Even in the sense that you have a situation where you have a child who's sick. How many parents in this room actually go to God and pray to Him before they run to the doctor? I used to go to the doctor first thing. When I had my first two kids, if they sniffled loud enough and coughed, man, we're going to the doctor. Matthew fell down one time, and he acted like his arm was broken. I'm like a doctor trying to feel it and go, well, I can't tell. It doesn't feel like it's broke, but we'll go take him to the doctor. And I took him to the doctor. He wouldn't hardly move his arm. He just kept holding his arm. We got to the hospital, and when we were sitting in the hospital, I'm waiting in this long line to get triage, and he's just got a broken arm, so, as far as I know. So that's no big deal, because they're going to triage the people that are bleeding and having heart attacks and all those things first. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of looked over, and I saw a bubblegum machine over there. When I turned my head and looked at it, Matthew saw it. And about that time, Matthew said, I want one of those. I said, good, I'll buy you one and we're leaving. So I bought him a piece of gum and I left, and that was my hospital bill that day. He didn't really break his arm, but I didn't know either. But I learned through Matthew and Amanda as we went to the doctors and ran off so many times that you don't need to run off to the doctor first. You need to seek God. God, help me to discern what to do. And many times He'll put people in the right place. He'll solve situations before you even get out of your house. It's amazing what He will do for you if you will seek Him first. That's what this is talking about here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. You think, well, I've got all this medical training. I don't care how much medical training you got. God's got more. He's got more training than you do. He knows more about things than you do because He knows everything. So we go to God first. So how does that, again, relate to this tithing thing? Well, again, as you look on down, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Okay, that's what you have. Honor the Lord with that. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Here he's talking about the tithe. What is the tithe? You think, well, it's money, Pastor. Don't you know? Well, it's not only money. What if you have a garden? What if you get an increase of corn? Is that part of the tithe? According to Abram, it was, even down to the shoe latchet, he said. Yes, it is. So any kind of increase that we have, it's part of the tithe. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I don't grow anything, so I don't have anything to give back. But some people do, and that can be part of the tithe. Is you bring things to the church, you know, maybe some eggs or some corn or whatever it is. That's part of the tithe. That's part of giving back to God. And again, most time we have jobs and we don't make other things. And so what do? We bring money and we give that instead, which is fine. And that's part of the plan as well. But also, Abram, he gave tithes before the law, but Jacob did too. When Jacob was on his way to his father's house, right after dreaming about the ladder, he said this in Genesis chapter 28. It says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will bring with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee, the tithe. That was Jacob. That was before the law. So again, we see that the tithe was instituted before the law ever came in existence. Under the Old Testament law, the tithe was demanded. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So it's talking about giving this to God. If we don't give the tithe, we rob God. Now, I don't have to ask an amen on that, but or an oh me, but I can pretty sure guarantee that nobody in this room wants to rob God, because He's going to get back what you take from Him. And not only that, you will miss out on the blessings of God. What is Christianity all about? It's about giving. God giving to us and we giving back to God. And as we demonstrate that giving to God, you know what He does? He gives us more. And He continues to do that. But we have to trust Him for that. We have to say, God knows best. I don't understand this. I don't understand why I should give the tithe. Well, I do, because I read the Scriptures and it teaches us. But once we understand, we ought to do it and do it with a cheerful heart. And we ought to do it in an orderly way. And it's the first fruits. That is, don't hold back. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for a second. This is talking about an orderly way. This is not necessarily a tithe. This, it's a gift that Paul was seeking to help out some folks. And as he was seeking that gift, he was really sharing with the church there, Corinth, about the fact that they didn't give, and others did, and we'll see that in chapter 2 in just a few minutes. But here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, he says this, and he's giving closing instructions to this church. And again, this church is a church that is filled with heresy. This church is a church that has not followed God, has done a lot of things wrong, and Paul is writing to them to correct their behavior and their attitudes toward God. He says in verse 1 of chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So he says, I've told the church of Galatia to do this. I'm telling you to do this too. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He's saying at the first of the week. In other words, the instruction here is to give when you get. When you get your check from the government, do they wait and take your taxes out the week after, or 3 weeks later, or a month later? They get it right away, don't they? They claim it right away. So what I am teaching you today, and I know people do it different ways, but I believe scripturally, if you really want to follow God and do it right, you give it when you get it. If I get paid weekly, I'm going to give weekly. If I get paid twice a week, I mean, or not twice a week, it'd be nice. But every other week, I'm going to pay it every other week. If I get paid monthly, I'm going to pay it monthly. When I receive the blessing that God is giving me, then I'm going to return that right then and there. I'm not going to hold it back. Now, there are some, and this doesn't apply to everybody. I know some of you are disciplined, and you can say, well, I can hold my tithe for 2 months, and I can still pay it, no problems. But I don't know about you. I'm a little bit weaker than that, and I'm going to confess up to you that it would be so easy for me to take my tithe if I didn't give it, to misspend it. Have you ever went on vacation? I have, once or twice. And vacations cost a lot of money. And you budget that, and you figure out, well, this is how much it's going to cost, and you get a little extra. But sometimes you go on vacation, you see something you want to do that costs a little more than you budgeted. And you're looking at your checkbook, and you say, well, I got this money here, but it's set aside for the tithe. Well, I can make it up some other time. I'll just use it. What you do, or what I have done, is robbed God right then and there. Now, I'm not saying you would do that, but I know that I would, because it's available. And I would come up with a plan. I would give the money. It would be later. I would have to work it out, maybe installments. God, are you working on the credit plan? We'll just do the installment thing. But that's not the way God told me to give. He said, give the first fruits. So I've learned, when I go on vacation, if I was going on vacation today and I was going to be gone the next two Sundays and I got my paycheck today for those two Sundays, that tithe would be in the plate today. Because I don't want to take it with me. I don't want to be accountable for God's money, especially when I had the opportunity to give it. And there are other things that could happen, and I'm not even going to go into those because those aren't pleasant. But the fact of the matter is, it's supposed to be done, I believe, immediately. Bring in the storehouse immediately. Just like he said there in Proverbs chapter 3, he said, it's the first fruits. What is the first fruits? That's the first part of the check, or the first part of the harvest that you reap. It's the first. It's not the second. And if you did the saved it up, you know, there are some things, like I could think of corn maybe, and maybe some grapes or something like that, that if you waited for a month to give it, you know, set them aside, they probably wouldn't be as good. So think about that. And this is applying the scripture to this principle of giving when you get. And I believe it's scriptural to do so. And so we try to do this. So what about the New Testament? Does it say anything about tithing? Well, Jesus was rebuking the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he says, he commends them for this. He says, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, you don't leave the tithe undone, but you do this other thing too. And so Jesus, when he was talking to those, he was telling those folks that you are to give your tithe, that you are responsible for that. And of course, the scriptures even go farther than that in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over there for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to try to speed this up a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. We read this the other week. And Paul is writing, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? What's that word sparingly mean, you think? Very little, okay? If you just sow just a little bit, you're not going to reap very much, is what it says. You put one corn, a kernel in the ground, you might reap a stalk of corn, okay? And that's all you might get. Now, that's more than you sowed, of course, but it's still not as much as you could have had, okay? In verse 7, it says, oh, let's finish that verse. He says, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's just the opposite. If you sow a great amount, you're going to reap a great amount. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. As you purpose in your heart. Something that I've learned as I continue to grow in grace and serve the Lord is that I want to give as much as I can to God. And so that's the way I approach it. I pray about it. I ask God, what can I give? Because when it comes to faith promise, it's God who's got to meet the need. I'm not going to necessarily have it. And I don't always have it. But God continues to meet the need. And sometimes he's teaching me some things that I ought not to spend my money on anyway. Like a Coke, for instance. Cokes are expensive. Now, if you buy those little 16-ounce Cokes, you're getting ripped off every time. Because you can go to Fodder's and buy for 20 cents more, I think it is, you can get a whole liter, or a two liter. And so it's crazy. You know, you look at that and go, well, but see, if you're like me, you say, I want the small one because I don't want to drink too much. So they got me every time when I go in that store. They ripped me off quite a bit because that Coke didn't cost nothing. But anyway, so there are things, though, we can cut out and that are not important, that do not help us. And so we have to look at that. So we want to be cheerful givers. And look at verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." When we choose a purpose in our heart to do something and we do it, God says, "I'm going to give you more than you need." All sufficiency, he says. And that is such a wonderful thing and thought to know that God is there and he cares about you so much that he's going to let you buy that Coke next week. You know, or whatever it is. And he does that in abundance when we're willing to be a cheerful giver and have right attitude about giving. So it's important. Now, as we've talked about, Christian stewardship goes beyond paying God a tithe and using the rest as we please. And there are reasons for that. I'm not going to go to these places, but in Acts chapter 21, Paul is reminds us about giving. He wants to take a gift to Jerusalem. In Romans chapter 15, he mentioned the Macedonian Achaia churches and their giving, and it was for missions. It was a purpose of missions. And there was fruit added to their account because they were givers. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, one chapter back. I want you to see what people who understand about giving, what they look like. And it's really all about grace giving in your life. In chapter 8, look at verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now he's exhorting the Corinthians. The Corinthians promised to give a year prior to this, and they didn't give. And so he's exhorting them. He says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power," he said, "I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave," what? "Their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." What he's saying there is that these folks here were going to give to the church, these folks in Macedonia. This is what the Corinthians were supposed to be doing. They weren't doing it. They weren't practicing this. And he said, this is what I want you to understand, how God works in a person's life. These people purposed in their hearts to give more, and they were people that were struggling. They were people that didn't have everything. In fact, he tells us that they were in a great trial of affliction. How many in here have been in great trial of affliction before? I have. You know, and I can think of a lot of times when, like I said, I put 4 kids through college. I didn't. God did. And there have been times when the bill was due, and I went, well, there's no money. And so I'm having to pray about that, and I'm seeking. And also, I go to the college, and I tell them, I says, look, I'm going to pay the bill. And I petition them and ask them, I says, is there any way that they can stay in school and I can pay the bill when I get the bill? And through the years, they've been very gracious to me and allowed that to work out. And I believe it's because of God. And because I'm willing to trust him and be faithful, and he's willing to take care of the situation. And he says, Paul's writing this passage, they were in a great trial of affliction, and it says, and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. They had joy in their life. How do you have joy in your life today? What do you do to get joy in your life? There's an acrostic I love to share. What is it? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You'll have joy in your life in the great trial of affliction. You'll have abundance to give liberal, that's what he said. And he's not talking about being liberal. He's saying giving liberal. Giving more than you think you can give. When you have joy in your heart, you want to do that. And you do that. Faith promises stepping out. What is faith all about? It's about counting it up and saying, I got this much money so I can give this. No. It's saying, I got this much money, but you know, I believe God wants me to give this and I'm going to try it. Because I think God can increase what I'm getting. And he can do that. And he will do that if you trust him by faith. So they were in deep poverty. And so really, it's all about the heart. Remember Mark chapter 12, where Jesus was sharing and he responded about the widow who gave all she had. It was just a mite. She gave it all, though. That was sacrificial giving. That's the way we're to give. It was power. They had power to do it. There's three ways to give. Below your power, you can give it according to your power. You can count it up and figure out what you got. Or you can go above your power. How do you go above your power? How do you do that? Huh? Did I hear somebody say something? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. Where does the power come from? Now, if you're sitting in this room and you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you have no power to do this. You can't do it. But if you have the Holy Spirit living inside your body because you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the power to do this. And it starts off, if you've never practiced faith promise, it might start off with a nickel. It might start off with 50 cents. It may start off with a dollar. But as you continue to grow in your faith, you can continue to trust God for more and more and more as you grow in this grace. I've experienced this. I know what I'm talking about. And I believe you too, everybody in this room, can do the same thing. And that's why I think it's so important to trust God and step out on faith and put a little bit more in. God's given you everything. What if He decides to take it away? Well, God can't take it away. Yes, He can. He can close the business you work for. He can shut down the operation you're doing. He can take your money out of the 401k and it disappears. People have seen that happen. Back in 1929, everybody lost everything. They were in food lines. Can God take it away? You better believe He can. But He's given that to us. And if He's given us that, let's give back to Him and trust Him. Show how much we trust Him, how much we believe in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, look what it says here. It says, "For if there be first a willing mind," that's where it begins, okay? You got a willing mind. God, I want to do whatever You ask me to do. I'm going to trust You. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Lord, I'm going to follow You in every area of my life. I'm trusting You. You're first in my life. You have a willing mind. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about not doing it grudgingly. You know, sometimes we give, and I'm honest with you, there have been times I put money in the plate and thought, man, I didn't want to give that. Why? I can't go to McDonald's tonight. You know, in the church I went to, we had offerings three times a week. You gave it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Every night of the week you had the plate passed. Why? Because there may be people that didn't make it to a service or whatever, and they gave them the opportunity to give. Whatever. And it's not a problem with the way we give. We're used to it, and we do it the way we do it. It's fine. But we didn't that. And so I come to church on Wednesday nights. I have money in my pocket sometimes because McDonald's is just about 2 minutes down the road. And I tell you, on Wednesday nights, there's nothing like going down the road and getting you some hamburgers or maybe go over to the grocery store, food line or whatever it was called, and get the donuts, whatever it was. But I can remember times the plate was passed and I had one big solid bill in my pocket. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to give that. I'd give half of it, but, you know, I don't want to take money out of the plate either. That's embarrassing. But and so the Lord would speak to my heart and said, look, man, this money's going to be used for a good purpose. You don't need that hamburger tonight. And I'd just surrender and say, okay, Lord. But it was like grudgingly I gave that. Later on, I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. If I got it and the Lord wants it, it's His. I don't care. Because He's going to give back to me. And besides, I don't need all those hamburgers. They make me fat. So anyway, He says also, or of necessity in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's not of necessity. And He says, do it cheerfully. That is hilarious. Are you happy to give? Now, I didn't practice what I normally practice, but normally on Sunday, one of the first things I do, and sometimes on Saturday night, is write that faith promise and that check for tithe. I just get it done. I want it done. So I'll have it in the morning ready to go. I messed up today and didn't do it that way, but I do that, and I can't wait to do it because I can't wait to see what God's going to do with it and how He's going to use it. And you can just look at our facilities here. God has done some miraculous things. He has blessed us in some mighty ways. The addition here, that is, you know, it's all paid for. Church owes nothing for that, okay? And I think that's the way it should be. So it's all about attitude. It's all about doing things the right way. Paul said in Philippians, we're in close, 4:18, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He was saying that some of this money that was given to Paul. He said, "I don't need it, but I thank God for it." And God will do that if we're willing to surrender and help. Again, I can't help but remind you, all of those pictures up there on the wall, they're missionaries that we took on to support. We took it on by faith, trusting that God would bring in the money. Now, God's not driving up in a truck and dumping money on the parking lot. The money tree out back, I checked on it this morning, it's dead. No more money coming off of that. So the only place this money is going to come from is us. And we have to choose by faith if we want to support all these missionaries. Because if we can't support them, we might have to make a decision. Which one will we let go? Which one will we stop supporting? Which field will we not be part of? And I don't want to make that decision. I don't even want to go there. And so as I mentioned to you, if 10 people gave $3 more, we would cover it. So if 20 people gave $1.50 more, we would cover it. There's lots of ways to break it down. So, but you do what God tells you to. Maybe He just says, you give what you gave last year. Maybe that's where your faith is. I hope it's growing a little bit. And the only way you can test God and prove Him is by stepping out on faith and saying, I'm going to try and do better or do more if God will allow me. And again, if it doesn't come in, don't give it. If you can't get it, if you're flat broke, there's not a penny in your pocket, and there's no way you can make it, don't give your faith promise, because God is responsible for that. Now, make sure you're being a good steward. You're not buying junk. You're not spending money on entertainment and luxuries and all that garbage and then say, well, I don't have it, because you just robbed God. You chose to do something with it you shouldn't have done, because God is first. Entertainment is somewhere down the line. Anyway, but let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and mark our ballots and then turn those in. Father, again, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the word of God and how you convict us. But you don't only convict us, you confirm to us that we're doing right. And I appreciate that so much, because there are times in my life when I've heard the word of God and been challenged. There have been times when you've confirmed to me that you're doing right. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I appreciate that the word of God does that. And it's through the power of the Spirit of God. This morning, I'd ask you, through the power of the Spirit of God, that you give each one of us faith to trust you, to maybe even step out on faith and give more than we were last year. But Father, we want your will in our lives. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the one who dictates what anybody gives. It's in your court and each individual in this room. Father, I just pray you'd have your way in each one of our lives. Help us to look to you, putting you first in everything. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.